But when we operate with the Holy Spirit taking the lead for us, He will tell us about people that we would have no clue whatsoever on our own, in our flesh. But when we let the Spirit, and He's the Spirit in us as well, and our spirit witnesses with the Spirit of God that we are sons of God, which means we're one with Him, and we're heirs with God, which means we have access to all this information for His glory. And so when we pray for somebody that we know nothing about other than maybe a couple of general things, in terms of they need prayer for, whatever their symptoms are, He will do a whole download on what's really going on and what may even be not causing, in the sense that, the enemy causes these things, but in the sense of whatever the root of it is and what's allowed the person to be trapped and shackled. And that's why, I just adore the Holy Spirit. He has so much to offer, and He is the only way we will be brilliantly effective for the kingdom. Without Him, we can do small things. And we might be able to get people healed and all of that. I've seen heaps of people. It's still the Holy Spirit, but they're not really communing with Him. You can get people healed. You can do it without compassion. You can do it with pure faith, because it says if you have all faith to move mountains, but you have not love, you're nothing, which means you can do it without love,
right.
But that is not how God wants it done. So if we partner with God in the way that He wants to do it, He will give us access to so many levels of understanding and even power, I would say, and not power in a way where we get power hungry, but power in the sense that we're going to be effective and make an impact
right.
in a person's life. We don't want to just heal somebody's body. I'm sorry, and we're, it's us with the Holy Spirit obviously doing it. But we want, and this is what God has made clear to me for, months and months and months now. He said, do not just give them a healing, give them me.
Right. Yes.
That's what He wants.
Right.
It's not enough. Because if just a healing was good enough, He would never have said, many will come to me and say, all those that come to me and say, Lord, Lord, will not enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father. Now, people say the will of the Father is running around and doing healings. That's not the will of the Father. The next scripture in that, I think it's in Matthew 32 or something. Anyway, the next scripture says, they will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we do mighty miracles in your name? And I will say to them, depart from me, because I never knew you. His will is for us to know Him. That's the will of God.
It is.
And He means, that word, that know in the Greek means intimately, experientially, like a husband and wife.
Yeah.
So that means one.
Mm-hmm.
That's how deep this is. So when we start communing with Him in that way, this is what He does. He starts to give us all kinds of information about people. Because He knows He can trust us with it. And He also knows that we're going to use it effectively. The word that keeps coming up today is effectively. We're going to pray effectively, because what does it say? The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We want to be effective, don't we? We don't want to just pray in a way where we're kind of weak-willed. Oh, does God really want this or not? Is this His will? Okay, well, they don't know Jesus, so I guess they should stay. Or, oh, they know Jesus and they're 82. Well, I guess they should go. We have to be tuned in with the Holy Spirit to get that information.
Yes.
And not just make assumptions. Because I've prayed for plenty of people that haven't made it. That I've gotten 6-hour notice before they're dying. Somebody calls me 6 hours before they actually do die. We've had turnarounds. We've had a couple of dead raisings, but a good majority of the people that we've prayed for have been have passed on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really important to look at that rather than going, oh, I failed, because we can come from that mindset, I failed, to actually look. I've had times where somebody's called me to pray for somebody who's only in their 50s or maybe maybe, you know, maybe a little bit older, I don't know, you know, massive heart attack, something like that, and you're going, oh, this is ridiculous. It's not from God. This is an attack. And it is. There's no question it's an attack. But I'll pray in the spirit. And you know what? This one time in particular, I was shown this man was not going to come back. He didn't want to come back. Don't ask him back. I had that problem. No, I had that three times. Three men that died early. They were either in their 40s or 50s. Sudden death. And I, you know, the relatives called me up, relatives or friends, and wanted them obviously raised. I'm praying and I'm getting messages from the Holy Spirit. They're not coming back. Leave it. And yet you want to make sure, you know, you're not just hearing from the enemy, because the enemy doesn't want any of them to come back. You know, that would ruin his game. So we're always looking for discernment. Discernment is so important to being effective. And but not making assumptions of what we think is right. You know, oh, well, I think this should happen. Or I think that, like praying for that man just now, when I was praying, knowing nothing of him, knowing that all of this information is being given to me, hearing both of you say amen, amen, so obviously it's right, and I'm just letting the Holy Spirit flow, trusting him. When you first start doing it like this, I mean, I don't know how much prayer you do or how much you pray for other people or whatever, but when I found for myself, when I first started doing this, I sometimes wouldn't trust. I'd tend to think, is this really God? I don't ever think that anymore. I just go. You know, maybe once in a blue moon, the thought goes, is this really from him? But it's very, very rare. Most of the time, it's just go, 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 go. Don't stop it. It's like running water. You know, that we turn it on and we just, you know, we don't want to clog it up. We don't want to block it.
Right.
So we just let him go. And that's what I find is really, really important in terms of kind of like not second guessing it either. So do either of you have any questions? Because I'm more than happy to discuss or any comments at all.
Well, I do have one. If you've not been around the prophetic and it's new to you.
Yes.
To me, it's kind of scary.
Okay.
Because I'll give you an example. At church, I felt like this lady needed to go up to the front during praise and worship. And so she went up there, but I didn't get anything. I didn't know what to do, so I didn't do anything.
Right.
And then this other lady came over to her and started praying for her.
Okay.
And so she's going, yeah, there it is, there it is. And I'm thinking, you know, well, I don't, you know, I'm standing right next to this woman. You know, I'm not understanding really, you know, what it is. She's going, there it is, there it is.
Okay.
And I'm not feeling nothing.
Okay. Was she praying for you?
She was praying for the woman that I took up. I went and got and told her she needed to come to the front.
Oh, okay. Okay. I see. Okay. So you're saying because it's strange and you're unfamiliar with it, it was a bit scary. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it is kind of scary.
Okay.
Scary to me, you know.
Okay.
I mean, I have prayed for people. Joyce and I have prayed for this one woman in particular at a prayer website. That was back in June and July. And, I mean, things were coming out of us. We were praying for her that actually came to pass. But it's like since then, there's like, you know, nothing really.
Yeah,
okay.
Nothing really.
All right. When did this time happen when you were afraid? Was that after this woman that you prayed for on a prayer website?
Well, no, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think it's, I don't know. I think I heard. you talk about, did you say that you were shy when you were little?
Yes.
Who was it?
I don't know if I told you that, but yes, I was.
Yeah. So see, I was told, you know, I was shy.
Yeah.
When I heard that about what you said,
uh-huh.
It was like, wow. You know, that was like a label put on me.
Right. Okay. Right.
And you said, you know, don't tell your children that they're shy.
I don't know if that was me or somebody else. I'm not sure. But in any case, the thing is, Jean, we should be very wise and discerning about the prophetic. Some people, it has been very misused. There's no question. But that doesn't mean we want to shut it down, okay? So what you do, how you deal with that is you ask the Holy Spirit directly, Holy Spirit, I don't understand the prophetic. I'm a bit afraid about it. I want you to teach me directly in Jesus' name. That's all you do. And then you let him teach you. And
okay.
He will. It's really simple. It doesn't have to be scary or terrible or anything like that. Okay? Because the enemy also wants to shut down the gifts because the gifts actually free people. Okay, and he also will try to misuse the gifts. One of the things that I'm finding recently is the subtlety of the enemy, the desire to derail Christians, derail ministries. We just had a major attack of the enemy wanting to derail us from a person, through a person who came to us for help, and then turned it around and became, they're going to help us. But it's been insane, absolutely insane. And now I'm coming to my senses about it, and God is showing me what's really happening. And one of the things he's shown me is that the enemy wants to discredit Christians. Okay, that's a major tool of the enemy. If he can make Christians, whether they're in ministry, even more so, because you're going to take a lot more people with you. So if he can discredit a Christian, particularly that's in ministry, I mean, he wants to discredit Christianity all up, and he's done a really good job of it, you know, so far, because most people think Christians are just stupid, weak, or selfish, you know. So, and there's some truth to that, too. Some Christians have helped the enemy with his campaign against us. So what he's showing me now is that we have to be very, very, you know, the wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. We have to be so aware that he is the most cunning one. He's still cunning. And he'll try to trick us. That doesn't mean we're to be afraid of him at all. We're just supposed to know. You know, it says we're not ignorant of his devices.
Uh-huh.
So all we have to do is say, Holy Spirit, give me discernment. Make me aware. Show me where he's trying to trip me up. And he will, the good part of his attacks, this is the good part of the enemy's attacks. He will hit you where you are weak, and God will use it to make you strong. That's how good our God is. He is amazing.
Wow.
The enemy has come with us with such temptation over a period of time with this particular issue and promises and, pats on the back and everything you could ask, you know, all flattery that you could imagine. I mean, you know, excessive, just excessive. And the enemy wants to see if you're going to fall. But what I love about God is he says he will not allow you to be tempted more than you can bear. And he will give you a way out of that temptation. So although the lust of the flesh gets stirred up, there's no question. You know, it got stirred up for me. But now, because I'm looking at it with sanity, and a soundness of mind is one of the greatest gifts as well that God gives us. We really have to not just declare it, but ask him to solidify and fortify that soundness of mind, because there is so much junk going on. It is unbelievable. So I understand, Jean, you feeling a little bit wary of it. That can be very helpful. We just don't want it to take over so that you don't actually receive the gifting that he wants to give you, okay? That's where we want it. You know, it is a razor's edge to some degree. But we've had the Holy Spirit, and he guides us into all truth. So it's not like God's left us out in a minefield going, well, you figure it out. He's not like that. He's walking every step with us. We just have to pay attention. It's like we have, you know, like if you were in a battlefield and you had the communication guy, you know, in World War II, and he's got all the big pack with the radio on it.
Oh, yeah.
You got to listen to what headquarters is saying. Don't go over there. We just saw there's just a skirmish over there, and they've got 45 landmines. Go. Okay, well, I'm going to tell you where to go. Go southeast. I want you to take this route, and that's what you do. But many times Christians aren't listening to headquarters, called God, you know, and they're going their own way. And that's what we have to, you know, that's what we have to be aware of. But we're not alone in it at all. So, and like I said, all you do is ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, I don't get it. I've been asking him lately to teach me about the spiritual realm. Oh my goodness, I had no idea what a hard lesson it was going to be. You know, I asked him to teach me about grace. That was fun. I asked him to teach me about the word. Great. I asked the Holy Spirit to teach me about himself. Wow. That was like, whoa. You know, I could just sit in the chair and there he is, you know, filling me up and surrounding me. It was incredible. I asked him to teach me about the spiritual realm because stuff was coming fast and furious and I knew I needed to get some information. Very uncomfortable lessons, but very necessary. You know, because sometimes as Christians, we run around like little sheep, really little sheep, and like we don't know what's going on. And we're not meant to be like that. He's given us the mind of Christ. He's given it the Holy Spirit. He's given us tongues. Yeah. He's given us the word. He's given us the blood. We have got a huge arsenal against the enemy. But most of the time, we run around impotent. And that has to stop. You know, as the body. The body has to stop doing that. And it has to be taught. That's all. Once we get taught how to use all those things that God's given us and made available, well, we're no longer little sheep to the slaughter, I'll tell you. The enemy wants to keep us in that position of believing that's what we are. Of, oh, I don't understand. Oh, I don't get it. It's too hard. No, that's not the truth at all. But he'll try to waylay you. You know, I mean, he is a cunning enemy. And anybody who goes, oh, he's just an idiot. Okay, he's an idiot for getting himself out of heaven. I mean, how stupid could you be? You know, you had a great place there, mate, and you just blew it big time. You know, that's pretty stupid. He's an idiot in that way. He's an idiot because he thinks that he can overrun God. But he isn't an idiot when it comes to attacking us and his devices. And we have to be wise. So that's it. So I'm glad you said that about, you know, having qualms about it. And again, the way to do it is you just go to the Holy Spirit and say, okay, teach me. You know, because there are a lot of false people out there doing crazy things. I mean, crazy. And they're Christians. And they're either deceived Christians or they're pretending that they're Christians and they want to bring people down. Or they never even were born again and they're just absolutely off their trees. Or they're so demonically oppressed, they don't know truth from lie. So there's a lot of weird stuff going on. And there are some that are just wolves in sheep clothing, and that's really sad. But you know how you know them, don't you? How do we know them?
By their fruit.
You got it.
By their fruit.
That's all you have to look at. And the fruit isn't just miracle signs and wonders. That's not good enough fruit.
No. Love, joy, peace, love, separation.
You got it. You got it. And if they are bad-mouthing, you know, other ministries, or if they are telling you they have the only way, this is the only way, or if they're condemning you, or if they're oppressing you, or belittling, obviously something's wrong. So that's exactly how we know it. That's their fruit. Love, peace, joy. What's the other one? Gentleness. Something in self-control.
Long-suffering.
Yeah, the one we hate to love. Yeah. Long-suffering, you know. So, and I'm telling you, I'm in a situation recently where long-suffering is absolutely necessary. And I'll tell you, I have so wanted to chuck it in. And God has said, wait. And I'm like, you have got to be kidding, Lord. And he still gives me the same message every day, many times a day, in fact, because I ask him about it many times a day. And it's still wait. And then he gave me this realization. And he said, people are not expendable to me. Even if they're expendable to others, they're not to me. He does not look at people as expendable. He doesn't dump them and cut them off.
No.
That's not his heart. Now, if on their last day, they make the decision, you know, to still not reconcile with him, well, then they've made that decision. But God doesn't give up. He's very long-suffering.
Yes, he is.
He really, I mean, we put him through the ringer, and he still is there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think sometimes we can get, although the gifts are wonderful, and he says desire them, the focus sometimes can be too much on them and not enough on character. Because the gifts without character gives you the Church of Corinth. And we don't want to be like them. They were more powerful than anybody in the gifts, but look at them. They were adulterers, they were liars, they were idolaters, and they still had the gifts.
Yeah.
So sometimes, you know, the focus could be so much on that. The truth is it has to be tempered with our relationship with God and through the Holy Spirit. And then the gifts, like what you said, I think, Jean, you're being really wise. Okay, you didn't get what this woman was saying. You might have even felt, what's wrong with me? How come I didn't get that? And it might not have even been real. I don't know. I wasn't there. But to have that question is not a bad thing. You know, you want to be a sound-minded person in this.
Yes, I do.
You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. So when you go to the Holy Spirit and say, no, I want you to teach me, Lord. I don't want other people to. And he might guide you to somebody who actually is genuinely prophetic and genuinely will teach you things. I'm not saying he won't, but you're going to get it through him. He's going to guide you to those people, not somebody saying, oh, I'm going to tell you such and such.
Yeah.
You know, so you're being very wise, and there's nothing wrong with it. Sober-mindedness is another great gift. I have one person that is the most sober-minded Christian I know in the world, and she lives in the States as well. And we've done a lot of Skype, and I did a lot of ministry with her, but she's also, it's amazing. You know, you minister to somebody else, and then they get so strong they can minister to you. Now, that's good fruit. You know? Yeah, I'm like, I need her sober-mindedness, you know? And she's, you know, it was amazing. She was not like that when I met her. She was no confidence. Really questioning everything, didn't know how to pray for people. She is totally on top now. Amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, she's going to be one of the people that I'm doing.
That's
a correct. Isn't that incredible? I'm going to be doing a Skype teaching. Yes. God's told me to do this to teach people how to do online ministry. And she's one of the people who's absolutely ready. Fired up and ready.
Wow.
You know, she's now ready. But I met her in March, and she wasn't.
Wow.
But over the period of, you know, I mean, we did a lot of Skyping, but the Holy Spirit just took over.
Mm-hmm.
And she's leaps and bounds. So that's what we, you know, and we have that as, and we are all ministers of reconciliation. So we're all ministers, whatever our capacity,
yeah.
Whether we're in full-time ministry or whether we're moms or whether we're, you know, out in the corporate world, it really doesn't make any difference. It's, you know, God puts people in different positions. That's true. He puts some people in the body to equip the body so that they can go out and do what they're called to do. But none of it is better or worse than anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God doesn't look at it like that. We do. We put people on pedestals and think, oh, they're so anointed, or, oh, they've got this, or... I know when I was teaching in Singapore, I made it really clear because they started getting confused and thought it was me. So I made it really clear. And one way I did it, the Holy Spirit's so amazing, I asked him to fill that church with his presence. And boy, did he. And they were all, you know, there were some people whooping and hollering to it, you know, in praise. Other people just had their hands open. Other people were just feeling its presence. And after a few minutes, I said, do you see it is not me? This is who is doing it. The Holy Spirit. Because we've got to make that really clear to people. They have to know that it isn't, okay, it's us in union with God, but without him, we're nothing. And with him, him, we can do all things. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the paradox of it all. Rather than, you know, getting off on a on our own little tangent. So, why wisdom is really important, and being discerning is really, and we can ask for God for all those things. So that when we're in battle, because I was talking to somebody last night, and they were so right, and I thought this is such a good thing to add to what I've learned so far. And he commented and said, healing is spiritual warfare. And so, since it is, you know, it is, isn't it? Because we're taking ground off the enemy who stole it.
Right.
And the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent, guess who's the violent? Take it by force.
Take it by force.
We are. We're the violent.
Yeah.
You know, against the enemy. Even that word dunamis, you know, when he says we gave you a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind, that word power, which is dunamis in the Greek, it includes not only miracles, mighty works, miraculous workings, ability, force, violence. It includes that in that word.
Wow.
Yeah. And we know.
Wow.
You know, I'm not violent against people. Who am I wrestling with? Principalities, powers, and wickedness. So I'm going to be violent against them. Darn right. You know, they deserve it. So, so that's who we are in terms of, you know, in being kingdom. I feel like we're kingdom bearers. You know, we bear the seal of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit sealed us. That's our armor, and, you know, like right on our chest, I could see it, you know, like these knights, and it's his seal. So when we go out in battle and the enemy go, you know, when he really sees that we know we wear the seal of the blood of the Lamb, they know who they're dealing with. But we have to understand that so that when we go into battle, we don't get waylaid. Now, and the enemy is always going to try to trick us, because what did he do even with Jesus? He left until a more opportune time. He's going to always try to come back.
Mm-hmm.
But the wiser that we are, the more we know who the enemy is, and the more we know who we've been sealed by, and the armor that we wear of his actual life and blood, the less we're going to be afraid, the less we'll be confused, and the more we will take the kingdom back.
Yeah.
So... I mean, it's a wonderful adventure. I feel like we're in one of those, you know, films back in the, you know, like it's in the 1100s or something. The Holy Wars, you know? This is the real Holy War.
That's what I keep seeing.
Yeah. This is the real Holy War. This is it. They made a boo-boo. It wasn't supposed to be cut people's heads and arms off, you know? They mistook it. It wasn't a war, a physical war.
Yeah.
Because what does he say? Those who live by the sword will die by the sword. He didn't tell us to do it like that. And I'm not saying countries don't protect themselves or it's wrong to have a military or anything like that. I'm not even commenting on that. I just mean us as believers have to realize the war we're in, not in fear, but realize we're on the winning side.
Yes, we got the victory.
We have the victory. So, you know, the enemy is running scared, all the while looking back at us, bullying us, telling us how we're losing. It's like, but you already lost. Why are you talking to me?
That's a funny picture.
Isn't that good? He's running, and he keeps turning his head. Yeah, but you're a loser. You're losing. You're never going to make it. And he's running away. That's how it is. That's really how it is. That doesn't mean he isn't a formidable foe in our mind.
Right.
Because that's where he'll hit us. And if he can get us to agree with him, we have given, well, God once told me, I was praying in tongues with my son and my husband, and one morning and all together. And God all of a sudden said to me, the power of the universe is in your tongue.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And that's whether we're in English or the heavenly language that he's given us. And but I knew also what he meant, that you can rent out or lease out or let him buy altogether your tongue, either the enemy or God. One or the other is going to have it.
Right.
That's just how it works. So we have to be, if you know what, see, the enemy doesn't have the power of the universe. But when a Christian agrees with him, guess what he got access to?
Yeah, he got the power.
You got it. You see? So that's why we have to be so, you know, vigilant with ourselves, not in a way where we're, you know, beating ourselves up or constantly, you know, exhausted from watching our mouths, but it just becomes second nature to us. Oh, I don't talk like that anymore. I don't say those things. I've got life and death in my tongue. I don't want to agree. Why do we want to agree with the enemy and give him any advantage whatsoever when this, the enemy will always try to take advantage? Whatever you are doing. And what I have found, the deeper you get into ministry, like, you know, I guess you'd say daily basis, the more tricks he's got up his sleeve, you know? Because if he can't get you one way, he's going to try to get you another. But he does it with all Christians. It's not like it's just that he'll tend to bombard you if you're in the battlefield, just because you're in the battlefield, simply by virtue of being in there. But that doesn't mean we give up and that, or we back off. Hi, I'm back.
Hello. Did you go somewhere?
Yeah, I know. It just knocked me off a bit. Sometimes it does that. So it doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter that he does a lot of smoke and mirrors and tries to scare people and shows them, you know, horrible things or whatever it is, you know, tries to freak us out with the spiritual. All we have to do is go to the Holy Spirit, ask him to keep us sober-minded and give us a, you know, a reality check, really. That's really what it is. And I believe with both of you, this is probably why I'm talking, and we have another person, Lizzie, and she's on as well. I think, yeah, Lizzie's still there. She's listening as well. And she has amazing gifts from God as well. But I think you two, it's funny because we're talking in these terms. Yeah, God talks in terms with different people. I think you two are like, you know, you're going to be these battle warriors. And so you just need to be prepared. You know, you just need some training so that when you're out there, you're not, you know, you're not being hit with grenades and things. And you know what's coming at you. Do you know what I mean? Because the enemy will try to scare you and get you onto this weird ooga booga spiritual warfare stuff. You know, there's so many books on it. Oh, you can't touch this. Oh, this principality. Ooh. Look, yeah. What I heard.
Yeah, we went through that.
Did you?
Long ago.
Yeah, good. Yes. Okay, you're done with that. That's great. Because what did Jesus say? I have given you authority over all power of the enemy. Nothing by any means shall hurt you. I'd rather take his word for it than somebody who's going to make, you know, $1 million off a book. Scaring people.
Yeah, they do make. Mm-hmm.
You know, scaring people. It's fantasy land. It's horrible. And the funny thing is, if people believe that stuff, they actually will encounter it, believe me, because the enemy will use any delusion he can.
He uses fear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they will see those weird things. And I'm not saying there aren't weird. I mean, I've seen demons too. You know, it's no big deal. Who cares? You know, they're just stupid. You know, they're like ants. You know, yeah, another demon, whatever. You know, I don't really care. I'm not impressed by them. But if you're believing that kind of stuff and you're giving over to that imagination, you know, you're gonna be trounced by it. That's the scary part.
Yeah.
That's where it's scary. It's not so much scary the stuff that goes on. What's scary is that if you believe it, the enemy's going to send it.
Yes.
And those books.
Yeah,
go ahead. Sorry.
I was just telling somebody that at a prayer site today. Somebody's been having nightmares, and this other guy was telling him about what he's experienced, and he's talking about generational curses and stuff like that. And I'm thinking, he's off now, you know, because it has no. I mean, it doesn't. It's not in effect for us. We're in a New Testament covenant.
That's right. That's right.
And I was telling him about Liberty Savard. She has a teaching out on embodying and loosing. And she said the exact same thing that you did. They had ministers to come up, and this other minister was going to pray for them. And he started, you know, he said, I'm going to be casting demons out of you. And because those people didn't know any better, demons manifested.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
But she knew that, you know, she didn't have a demon. She just plead the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
And so when he came to her, he just looked at her. He says, bless you, sister, and moved on.
Wow. There you go. What was her name?
Yeah.
What was her name?
Liberty Savard.
Okay. How do you spell that, the last name?
S-A-V-A-R-D.
Okay, thank you. I'll just look her up. Yeah, it's important. We need sobriety in the body. You know, like there is a spiritual war going on. There's no question. And there are demons running around doing all their stupid things, you know. And they're mostly, you know what's...
I'm back.
When I came back from Asia, there's a totally different manifestation in Asia than there is here. In the West, I should say. Because we've got so many drugs in the West. So we either put people away and hide them, drug them. We usually do both. Put them away, hide them, drug them. So you don't really see it. In Asia, it's kind of on the street.
Yeah.
And all of the, you know, false religions that these people are praying to are manifesting in these people as horrendous diseases. I mean, disfigured beyond belief. Incredible. So freaky. Incredible. And you do need to know how to fight that, but you don't have to do it through that. You know, I was reading some of those spiritual warfare tactics, and I mean, there might be a couple of good things in them. Oh yeah, silence the enemy. Oh, I like that. Make him impotent. Oh yeah, that's a really good one. But then they were talking about things like when you pray for something, you have to cleanse yourself spiritually and wash yourself after you pray for somebody and before you pray. And I'm like, oh my God, that's called witchcraft.
Oh.
That's witchcraft.
Yeah. Oh.
I know. Terrifying, isn't it? And this is called Christianity. I'm like, what scripture is that in the Bible? Tell me where that one is.
Yeah.
Because the only cleansing I know about was in Leviticus, you know?
Yeah.
And you had a lot of baths, you know, to wash yourself.
Yeah, you did.
And that's it. But you certainly weren't, you know, spiritually. I mean, that's really weird esoteric stuff. And a lot of it has come into the church. So it's great when I hear that people are saying, no, I don't have any of that stuff on me. I plead the blood of Jesus. Well, that was the finished work. There is nothing more powerful. So I'm just going with that.
That's right.
You know? You know, and when you do get attacked, I mean, I have been severely attacked at times. I mean, physically, where convulsing and everything, you know, and not manifesting, just this thing was attacking me and I was in writhing pain. And God showed me why it happened, because I got quite cross with him. You know, I was running around doing my healing, praying for people, learning how to do this, declaring nothing by any means shall hurt me. And then I listened to some other guy, and he was very much into a region in the world where there's a lot of witchcraft. And he started talking about, you better put on your armor, you better put on your armor. I started thinking, oh, you mean nothing by any means shall hurt me is not enough? Uh-oh. Okay, maybe I better do this armor thing. Guess who got me? I started out with a small headache. It increased to a migraine. It increased to my being bedridden. It increased to my convulsing in so much pain it was worse than labor. And I didn't know how to get out of it. I really didn't. I was trying to command. I was trying to do the binding. I was trying to do everything. I finally gave up and just said, Jesus, you are going to have to do this because I can't do it. I can't do it. Within seconds, about 85-95% of it went.
Wow.
Yeah. And the last little bit, I was able to, maybe God knew that I was trying to learn how to do this. That last little bit, I was able to get rid of in a few minutes. So it showed me that, and then I was really mad. You know, I went, well, Daddy, I remember I was, driving the next day. I'm like, what the heck was that about? You know, you better give me an explanation and you better give it to me now. And you know what he said? I have that kind of relationship with him, but,
I know it.
Isn't it good? Isn't it good? He loves the stroppy ones because we're real.
Yes, I know. Uh-huh.
We're just real. And he knows, he takes us as we are, and he knows that he can trust. If I'm being that real with him, well, I'm not going to play games. And I mean, he obviously knows what's going on within us anyway, but I think he really appreciates it. So, he said to me, you pulled down your protection. I'm like, what? He said, you believed nothing by any means shall hurt you was not enough anymore. And I'm back. And the enemy got in from there. Isn't that amazing?
I used to do that whole armor thing too.
Yeah, yeah.
And the same thing happened, because I would be afraid. For example, I would go into work, and if I didn't pray that special prayer putting the armor on, I was like, oh no, I'm open to stuff. And then I'd start getting headaches, back pain, and neck pain.
That's it.
Wow.
That's it. That's it. Exactly. Exactly. So I couldn't blame God for it. And you know what it made me do? It went, I am going back down to the basics. The basics is, and this covers it, nothing by any means shall hurt me. And I'm covered with the blood. They didn't even have that then. The disciples didn't have that.
No, they
weren't covered by the blood of Jesus. They simply had nothing by any means will hurt you. Did we ever hear of a disciple getting sick? Or tormented? Or, I mean, he worked on their minds to try to convince them that Jesus wasn't real and to deny him. Yes, that happened. But they were never physically sick. They were never demonically tormented, to the point where they lost their minds. None of that happened. And I thought, so if that was enough even then, and then now we have the greatest power and the greatest protection, which is the blood of Jesus. We don't need anything else. But it doesn't sell books, because once you tell somebody they only need the blood of Jesus and nothing by any means shall hurt them, that's the end of your book. There are no more pages,
And then they can walk in the freedom.
That's right. And you just don't need it anymore. And, the book is the book called the Bible. You really don't need all these other books telling you how to fight, Region 12 in Lithuania. You just don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very seductive. It's very divisive. It's very deceptive. And I think when you read Acts, the book of Acts, and how Paul got quite stroppy, which means sassy, is the Aussie version of sassy, with a lot of the he got worse than that. He got quite angry, with some of the people who had believed, and then they decided, oh, this wasn't true, and then they were blaspheming. He was quite upset about that. And I think we have to make sure, although we want our brothers and sisters to know the truth, because the truth will set them free. If they are going to reject it, we kind of have to depart from them. We have to be separate. You could pray at a distance.
Yeah.
You pray at a distance. And you might even see people public. There's a lot of ministries that are so public, and you can see what's going on, and you're looking at it going, oh my goodness, I can't even believe people believe you. But okay, I'm going to ask God to open their eyes, and I'm going to ask him to open your eyes too, so that you can be freed. And God will work like that. We don't have to we don't have to run up to people and confront them all the time. But we do have to make sure we're clear.
Yeah.
You know, and it is by experience. Go ahead, Lizzie.
I was part of like a deliverance seminar one time, like when I first became a Christian, and so everything, I didn't have a grid for it.
Yeah.
And so like everything that they told me, I just received as truth. And at the time, like it, at first I was like, yeah, this is totally real. But then as time went on, I would just get more and more like afraid of demons.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I was just looking for ways to like try to, I don't know, like cover myself from them. And I just realized that I was getting more and more afraid of demons as opposed to more and more free with Jesus. And so I kind of dropped like contact with that ministry, and I'm like praying for them. But when I see some, like they'll send me an email about doing this or avoiding this, or it just seems like, I don't know, so strategic, like on the outset, and you're like lured in because you're like, oh, maybe that is the real root cause of my problems in life.
Right.
But really, God's people are destroyed for their lack of knowledge.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like the freedom comes from knowing who you are in Christ. And if I would have just meditated on that.
That's right.
I think I would have walked in much greater revelation.
Well, freedom that I have in Christ. What were you going to say, Jean? You were going to say something.
I didn't know I was going to say something, but I was thinking I need to say this. I think it's Isaiah 5 where it talks about my people are taken captive.
Yes.
There's a verse down there where it says that they get up in the morning, they drink, and they play around, but they don't understand how he operates.
Yes.
You know, they're not understanding how God operates. And it was the first time I saw that scripture, it was like, oh my gosh. You know, and then there's one in Psalm somewhere, I can't remember. But the reason why people are taken captive or destroyed is because, you know, they don't have knowledge of how he works. And if you don't have that knowledge, then you're in trouble.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're right. You're right. Because the focus so much is on, oh, know your enemy. Know your enemy nowadays. You know, it's, I mean, I don't know. How long has that been going on? 25 years now? Don't you think we'd know him by now?
We should.
You know, I'm tired about knowing my enemy. Okay, I know that I need to. But as you said, Jean, it's a really excellent point. Knowing how God operates.
Yeah,
it's far more important.
As opposed to always trying to feel, oh, is this a demon? Is this a demon?
Yeah.
We should know the Holy Spirit.
Exactly. It's far more important to know how God operates because he's the one who's going to teach you and lead you into all truth. Rather than, I mean, it's fine to, it does say we're not ignorant of his devices. We need to, you know, we need to understand it. But our focus isn't to be always there. And what I see with all of these, you know, a lot of these spiritual warfare books and focus on it, whether it's, you know, for healing or whether it's for mapping or, you know, whatever it is that they call it, who gets the glory? You know, who is this talking about all the time? Do you know what I found the greatest spiritual warfare is? Even beyond healing, even beyond love.
Yes.
That'll knock it off.
That's the thing that the devil doesn't have.
Yeah. That'll knock it off. That'll knock it down completely. You know, it's just, and even when you're insulted, even when, you know, they try to offend you and you still react in love. Oh my goodness. Nothing can conquer that. Nothing can stop that. And that is a hard place to do it. Sometimes, you know, that means really letting your flesh fall away and not listening. And God's teaching me that. And so you're so right, Jean. He wants us to know how he operates. Okay. He tells us to judge them, know them by their fruit. That fruit is all his character. So we're supposed to take on that character so that we can operate like him in whatever battle it is. And although we go with violence against the enemy in terms of, okay, if somebody's being attacked, being, you know, their marriage is attacked or their finances or their body or whatever, yes, we go after it, we bind it, we cast it out, we do all that. That is the short story. You know, the long story is who we are becoming, and well, we already are in Christ and we're already perfected, but who we are developing into in terms of a day by day relationship with him, but also in how we manifest that to others, and they get to see who this God is that everyone's talked about and everyone's blamed and everyone's misunderstood. Who is he really? So if we can understand how he operates, we're going to be able to share that with them. But, and I think we should get that Isaiah 5. I'm just going to get that because I want to read that. I think that's excellent. And that's what I love about the body. You know, the body is so colorful, and you know, not one of us has all the answers. That's why we're many members. We can all share something. You know, we're all learning from each other. So
Isaiah 5:12.
Okay, let's go. Okay, let me find it. All right. The harp and the strings, the tambourine and flute, and wine are in their feast, but they do not regard the work of the Lord, nor consider the operation of his hands. Therefore, my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. That's part of 13. But so they don't regard the work of the Lord, what he's really doing, like you said, you know, he's at work crying out loud. You know, it's not like he's just sitting there on a throne doing nothing. And nor consider the operation of his hands. So it's like you're not, so being ignorant of that he's working things out as well. You know, while we're doing what we do, we're not doing it alone. So he's working things out as well. And then this other one about I was just kind of getting a understanding of this, nor consider the operation of his hands. You know, how he's totally involved with the situation. I think we tend to, when we get a handle on that we have authority and we're meant to bind and loose and life and death in our time, we can sometimes push God to the side.
Yeah.
And think it's all up to us.
Yeah.
As if he left the building.
Yeah, I've done that. I've been here and done that.
That's so painful. You know, and it's more of, and it really is that knowledge of him. And again, look at, there's that word, knowledge. You know, depart from me, you never knew me. You know, those that enter the kingdom of the heaven know me. Not the ones that say, look what I did. Go ahead,
yeah.
Joyce.
I was telling Joyce that scripture, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this? Didn't we do that? And he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you, which that iniquity is lawlessness.
Mm.
And I told Joyce, you know, that faith works by love. People can do the work, the signs and the wonders, but there's no love there.
That's right. Exactly.
And you said that too.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. And his will, he said, you know, that those that do the will of the Father, and then when you look at what the will is, I think it's somewhere in 1 John, it talks about believing on him and following his commandments. And what was his commandment? To love.
Love.
Pretty simple, isn't it?
It is.
People have turned it into this, you know, like I said, I keep thinking, but it doesn't sell books, you know? You know, making things simple does not sell books. I mean, unless you got a simple book, you know? And then you might, you know, I'm supposed to be writing one. The Holy Spirit told me to write one about him because he's so overlooked in the body. And I've started it, but it's just, you know, I've been so busy with everything else. It hasn't really been flowing. And then I'm looking at some of the articles and stuff I write and I go, oh, okay, this is part of the book. I'll just go with it like that and, you know, add it as I go. And it needs to be simple. It needs to be, you know, it needs to be.
Yes.
Gospel is simple.
Yes, it is.
It's so, that's why a little child, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't quite myself understand the Holy Spirit. Mm. I mean, I read Benny Hinn's book years ago.
Me too.
Good Morning, Holy Spirit. And I'm thinking, how come God doesn't do that with me?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. That is great. I'm glad you brought that up, Jean, and Joyce, because the Holy Spirit is a person that we're meant to get to know. And how do you get to know a person?
Spend time with them.
Yes. You hang out.
Yes.
You ask them questions. Yeah. You find out what they like. You find out what they don't like. And the Holy Spirit is just like that. He'll tell you the truth always, so you're never going to get a false answer out of him. So whatever you're asking, you're going to get the truth. He will show you that your oneness with God is in him. I mean, it's through Christ, but it's in him because he's in you. He'll give you an abiding presence all the time if you want it.
I do.
Well, that's all you have to say. Holy Spirit, I invite you to be the abiding presence all the time so I can feel your presence all the time, all the time, all the time. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And then he'll do it.
Sometimes you might have a like mindset that you think that it's going to, that the Holy Spirit's going to feel a certain way because of what other people have told.
Yeah, that's right.
Time to go.
Yeah, like I know I used to think, oh, well, that person is acting this way, so I have to act that way to feel the Holy Spirit. But I realize even sometimes when I'm thinking and then a scripture comes into my mind, that's the Holy Spirit reminding me of that scripture.
Right.
So it's like, that's kind of like, don't despise small beginnings, even if you realize the Holy Spirit's working in like a small way or something. Mm-hmm. Don't like feel like it has to be like the way that the Holy Spirit moves in other people's lives.
Okay. Okay. That's good. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Yeah, exactly.
Gene and I kind of compare one.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, you come to him like a child, and if you compare yourself to other children, it's kind of like sibling rivalry. And it's
I
not,
know it is.
And, well, they're twins as well, Lizzie. They're actually twins in real life. So.
Oh, that's cool.
So they tend to really compare, you know. But, yeah, that's a great reminder that he's not going to necessarily manifest the same to you or to me or to your sister or to somebody down the road, and it doesn't matter. All you do is say, I want to know and be in your abiding presence, and then let him do the rest.
Yes.
He knows what's going to work for you.
Yes.
Because remember when we did that prayer and there was, you know, you very different personalities, very different character, very different makeup.
Mm-hmm.
Than your sister. Yeah. That's the same with all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And you're twins. So, you know, I mean, and you still have that.
Yeah.
So it's so specific. You know, his relationship with us is so specific. That's why when we pray for people, like when we prayed for that man at the beginning of this, although we didn't record it, but we prayed, God showed me all of these particular things that you know about him. But I don't, because the Holy Spirit knows all the specifics of a person and what they need,
right?
And what they're lacking, what they're crying out for. He knows.
Right.
He knows. And that's, the more we commune with him and become, it's almost like just hanging out, you know, having a cup of coffee or whatever with a friend and chatting. The more we, and it can be much bigger than that. I mean, you can just ask for his presence and he'll come. And you might feel him very differently than I would or Lizzie or somebody else. He's going to present himself as that's going to make sense for you. It's all individual.
Yeah.
It's all individual. There is no formula or set way. Oh, Holy Spirit comes like this, and when you feel this, that means it's the Holy Spirit. I wouldn't trust that in a minute, in a, you know, at all, because other spirits can manifest. So I'm going to let the Holy Spirit directly commune with me and show me who he is and how he is. And all you have to do is ask him. He'll teach you anything, absolutely anything, because he's a teacher.
Yeah.
You ask, and then you'll start finding you're in a lesson. You are in a new classroom. Like I'm in suddenly in this classroom of spiritual realm because I asked.
Yeah.
I was in the classroom of grace, and then I was in the classroom of the word, and then I was in the classroom of Who's the Holy Spirit? He'll put you in any class. All you got to do is show up, and he'll teach. Because he can't help himself. He can't stop teaching, you know. So, sometimes I have to just go lay down, otherwise he's just going to keep going. It's like, I'm laying down now. We're having a break. He's like, but I'm ready. Okay, who's next? I'm like, no, I have a body, and I like to sleep sometimes, you know. I like Graham Cook's version of him. He said that he was like Tigger, and he bounces out of the forest where Pooh Bear is, and he goes, oh, what are we going to do today? You know, like he's all... I thought, yeah, that's Holy Spirit. That's Holy Spirit. You know, and yet he can be so, so quiet. Such a contentment can come. I'll sit with him, and this contented peace will come on me and in me, and I'll just sit there smiling. And I'm just like, oh, you are so good. You are like water. You're like, you know, water for the thirsty. You're like the air I breathe. Yeah. It's unbelievable. You have that with him too. And, yeah. You know, he's multifaceted because he's God. And we treat the Holy Spirit like this thing. But he's not. He's the person of God living inside us. I mean, that's pretty wild when you think about it. Really? What? The creator of the universe is living inside of me. Whoa. When did that happen? Oh, Jesus Christ, the cross. Then I believed. Then the Holy Spirit came on me and in me. Oh, my goodness. The living God is living in me. You know?
Hallelujah.
And he's amazing. And we haven't even tapped the surface, you know?
I know.
Of who he is and how he is. So that's a lifetime love affair that we get to explore. You know? And like we said, if we know the basics, that we don't have to be afraid of the enemy because we're covered in the blood of Jesus and nothing by enemy shall hurt us. We know that he's defeated. We know that we are the kingdom of violent, we are the kingdom of heaven, and we're the violent who's going to take it back. We know that we're loved unconditionally, bought by his grace, and that the Holy Spirit lives in us. And we have got the Word of God to always confirm everything. And we've got the power of tongues, let alone our own tongue in our native language. Wow, what an arsenal. Pretty amazing. No wonder the enemy's running and looking back at us going, you're a loser, you're a loser. You know?
Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, always interceding for us.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, so it's... It's kind of like, you know, it's like, I remember once God giving me this understanding of like, don't you get that I rigged it in your favor?
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That is.
Isn't that incredible? And you're going,
yes.
You know?
God is so amazing.
And that's what he's done. And we run around sometimes, not always, but, you know, we tend to we have, I'm going to put it in the past because we don't want to say that about ourselves anymore, but in the past, we have tended to believe we've got this big fight and this big battle with these little kids with this big sword, but we don't know how to use it and we can't even lift it up and it's really hard. And God's going, what? No, it's rigged in your favor. It's already finished. Why are you acting like that? And if we can really get a hold of that, and I mean really, like in the core of our being, man, different game plan.
It would be, because when we look on things, it would be in the victory sense before
exactly,
we got it.
Exactly. We have to come from victory. We have to come from victory. Because if we come from any other place, because we're past the cross. It is a victory. We're not looking towards the cross. We're looking past the cross. And it's already finished. It's already done. And if we can actually live like that, and I'm just going to ask God, Lord, Holy Spirit, we want a revelation of that so that we live it in our daily lives, in any battle, in any relationship, in any conflict, and even in the good things, Father. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, show us so that in the core of our being, in our very molecules, we know we are in victory and you rigged this for us in our favor and that it is a done deal and we come from victory, not as victims, ever again in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, but take that victimhood garbage away, Lord. Cleanse us of it. We don't want it anymore. It's just a lie from the enemy, and it's a pathetic lie. Look what you did. Have us look to you and know what you did, and never be afraid again. Other than the fear of the Lord, that is the only fear we want. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Christ Almighty. We love you. You are the forever God, forever in us. How could we lose? In Jesus' name. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Daddy. You all three are warrior women, okay? And that's why this particular session is about all this. That's what's going on. And when we, all of us, know that we live in victory all the time, every minute of every day, because we're past the cross, all this stuff that seems to bother us, it is going to so fall away so fast. You won't be able to, you know, it's like one of those little towns, you blink and you miss it. It'll be like that.
Yeah. Barney.
That's how it's going to be. That's how it's going to be. He is shining so hot and intense on us. And what do we look at? The creepy little, you know, beetle called some kind of stupid, you know, minion of Satan. Oh no, oh no, it's a beetle. You know, this is what we do. And God has got this light. It's like one of those, you know, searchlights or whatever, when, you know, in Hollywood when they have the previews. It's like one of those lights is shining on our heads. And we're looking at this tiny little beetle on the ground. We're not even looking up and noticing there's a light.
Uh-huh.
We've got to change perspectives and start looking up. Because that's where our help comes from. And
I love that scripture, death, where is your victory? Or death, where is your sting?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's just like the simple revelation for me that I'm never going to die and that death has no power over me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Like, what do I really need to be afraid of?
That's right.
It's like, if I'm never going to die and Jesus really rose from the dead and is alive and is inside, what do I really need to be afraid of? Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's make a concerted effort to, well, in partnership with the Holy Spirit. We're not going to do it out of will. It's not a willpower thing, but to really stay on that course of I live in victory. I live in the finished work of the cross. And you know what I had a picture of just a couple of minutes ago? Of we are, as you know, in that gear, in that kind of that armor that the Roman soldiers, you know, that was leather armor, you know, like their breastplate was leather, and okay, whether they were male or female, it didn't matter. The picture I got is they're dancing with their, you know, with their shields, just, I mean, having a groovy old time, dancing into the battle. Can't wait. It's fun. The guy's lost. How could it not be fun?
Yeah, the story about the children of Israel and walking around Jericho.
Yes.
And what did they do? They sang praises and they blew the trumpet. The walls fell down.
That's it. Instead of all of this efforting and hard stuff and, you know, being exhausted by, oh, I've got to fight this and I've got to fight that. And the enemy loves it. He's like, yeah, you've got to fight me. You've got to fight me. I'm really tough. You better fight me. You know, and we're agreeing with that. So, of course, we're going to have a tough battle. But when we go, why would I need to fight you? My Father in heaven fought you through Jesus Christ, and you're defeated. So I'm just going to walk. Amen. I'm walking on.
And you know, I love the Psalms because it talks about praising God all the time, praising the Lord. That you're, with the scripture, let your praise be continually in thy mouth. So, I mean, if it's continually in your mouth, then you're not going to be able to, you know, complain about anything.
That's right.
If you're praising God all the time, there's not going to be an opportunity to
exactly.
Exactly.
Exactly. The other one is, it says that praise silences the enemy. That's another song.
Yes.
So why would we, you know, instead of, you know, stirring ourselves up and getting, you know, all frothing at the mouth to get rid of these things. And I'm not saying there aren't times when you got to go hard. Yes, there are. And I'm not going to have a problem with that. But in our daily lives, and where we want to stand from is from that, yeah, that place of praise. You did it, Daddy. Whoa. Happy, happy, happy. And I know there's so much further to go. And if we could actually do it all from praise, how fun would that be?
Oh, yeah.
That's my goal. Yeah. I don't even want to have to fight anymore. I just want to do it from praise. Let's do it from there. Now, that's fun.
It is.
Dancing and singing? I mean, who doesn't like doing that? Rather than having to get the sword out again and stick it in his head again, and, you know, for the umpteenth time, I thought I got this stupid devil, you know. Who wants to do that all day? That's very tiring. Not that I'm saying, you know, when I have people that I pray for and they have cancer or something, I am going to go after that stupid thing. There is no question. I'm not going to go namby-pamby with it. But I'm talking in ourselves. Like if we get to a place where we're living from a state of praise, wow. I think that's one of the ways you get untouchable.
Yeah.
Instead
the
of...
The second a creepy thing comes, like whether it's a creepy lie or an emotional feeling,
yes,
your lips are already warm with praise. You're praising God.
Yeah.
So it's like you immediately don't own it. You immediately know that it's not the truth because you've been praising God. You've been in this atmosphere of praise.
Mm-hmm.
So when this lie comes in, it's creepy and it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel like
that's
the
right.
Loving heart of your Father. You're like, how could I even own this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, I like what you said.
I did too.
Yeah, it's like, it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right.
It doesn't taste right.
Because you know that ultimately what you want to do is praise God and just let people know how good he is. So when all of a sudden you start talking about how bad your life is or what's going on and it becomes like complaining, it doesn't feel right because you actually want to give glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And it's like the enemy just wants you to get stuck in that cycle of like glorifying him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But God is the only one worthy because he's ultimately like we've been talking about, he's the winning side. He's already won.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good plan of when you can distinguish it. That's really good, the between the difference. And it has to become second nature. Like I was talking with some women the other day, and they, you know, we prayed and you know, they could feel the Holy Spirit and some healing and whatever. But this one woman would continually complain about a person, about the husband, about somebody who did this, about the relatives. And I'm thinking, look what's coming out of your mouth. It's just, you're setting yourself up for misery. And then when someone attacks, you know, I mean, I had quite a week of attack where it was like offensive city, like the enemy was doing everything he could to offend me. And it worked sometimes, you know, I have to say. So I said, all right, Lord, I'm going to just have to go, okay, I do not take offense. And the last time I expected to be offended, this was so funny, the last time I expected to be offended, somebody had written something to me, like an email or whatever, and this person had been a little bit, what would you call it, not confrontational, but challenging, okay? And I'm like, oh, here we go again. I said, no, I will not take offense. And you know what? I opened their message and it was good.
That's hilarious.
I thought, oh, I'm learning my lesson. No offense 101, you know? Because it's such freedom in it.
Like, in place now, like, God's brought me to a place where even when people praise me and compliment me, it doesn't send me soaring like it's like it used to. It used to, when people praise me, it sent me soaring, and when people criticize me, it sent me, like, downfalling. And it's like I was always on an emotional roller coaster. Like, that's kind of how I felt. And now I'm in a place where even when people praise me, I'm so grateful and I'm, like, so humbled. And I'm like, wow, that's amazing. But it doesn't send me soaring in the place like it used to before, because I'm like, that's not my rock. Like, my rock is who God is.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. So I think the other thing besides praise being an amazing weapon of war, and us not having to feel strained or tired because it's not that kind of weapon, is also humility. Okay. I just think that kind of leading on from what you were saying, Lizzie, if we are catapulted one way or the other, depending on what people do, we're not really operating in that place of humility with him. Because if we're humble, what difference does it make whether this one approves of you or disapproves of you? It really doesn't matter. But if we're caught up in ourselves and what they say, and I mean, it's, look, we're learning. We're all learning. So it's okay when we're in the place of, like, we haven't gotten there at that, you know, yet, but we want to be in that place because we want to share in his, we want to be partakers of his divine nature because we are. So I don't want I don't want to have offense take over. And sometimes it's a process, and you can watch yourself almost like a child. You can see yourself learning a lesson, you know, and in the middle of the lesson, you're acting like a real, you know, jerk, you know. Because you don't really want to accept the lesson. And then by the end of it, you're saying these amazing things. And you're going, oh, did I say that? Oh, my gosh. He's changing me. Oh, I actually get it. You know, and that's how loving he is. That even when we're acting like babies and toddlers, you know, and want our own way, he doesn't slap us or kick us or condemn us. He knows, just take one step. The other day, he said that to me when I was upset about something. And I said, when people kind of reject you, okay, you pray for them, they get healed, and they look at you like you're a crazy person. And you're thinking, well, you're the one who's crazy because you don't even care that you got healed. You don't even know about this God. You want to know about this God that healed you. And I was talking to Jesus and making a big deal about it, you know, and I just said, how did you do it? How did you do it when you were on earth? And you know what he's, and I'm thinking, and I know I said this to Lizzie earlier in the week, I was thinking, oh, he's going to give me some grand revelation and, you know, how you have more compassion. And then, and you know what he said? One step in front of the other. Don't you love God? You know, he's just like.
God kind of like, well, he did give me a revelation about that, like about rejection. Because I was asking him, like, the other night, I was talking to him about how frustrating I feel. I'm like, what is love if I'm going to be rejected for it? And then in my sleep, like, I felt Jesus saying, I went to the agony and the torture of the cross out of love, knowing that some would reject it.
Yeah.
And that just, like, blew my mind. I was, like, just weeping. I'm like, how did you do that? Because even going to the agony of it, he knew some would reject it.
Yes.
And it's right. Like, it's not to say, oh, like, we gotta pull up our bootstraps and be more like Jesus. Not like a condemning way, but just like, wow, like, just the truth of, like, who Jesus is so beautiful. Like, we just look at him and look at who he is.
And the thing about that, Lizzie, is when you say that, it is so true, because I had someone say to me, I'm going to believe that everybody is going to come to him and everyone's going to be turned around and, you know, not shake the dust off and all of this. And I said, I didn't really respond to what they said, but in myself, I thought, no, not everybody is coming, but I will still do. I will still walk with him. I will still do as he calls me. I'm not going to have the delusion that they're all coming, because they're not. But that will not change my continuing walking with him, sharing his truth, loving people, praying for them, seeing them healed, seeing miracles, all that stuff. It's not dependent on whether they all come or not. Because they won't. And it's exactly what he did. He knew he'd be rejected. We know we're going to be rejected. That is what he tells us we will be. If he was hated, we're going to be hated. So we better expect it. So when we get offended, it's really quite silly. Because we were told by God himself, you're going to get rejected. Expect it. Oh no, I don't like this. This is mean. It's not fair. You know? And he's like, okay, what does that picking up your cross mean? Because you're supposed to do that. And we have to, and the fact that he would be willing to go ahead anyway. So I don't want to live in some little illusion fantasy land that they're all coming. No, they're not. They're not all coming. But that doesn't stop us, does it? It didn't stop him, as Lizzie was saying. It didn't stop him from doing what he needed to do for those that will come. And if it's only a few, it's only a few in our lifetime. If it's thousands, wonderful. It's, you know, God's not into the numbers game. I mean, he just desires everybody to come, but he knows that they all won't come. And I think you have to be a bit sober about it and not just go, oh, well, I'm just going to keep going and they're going to, you know, I look at them all like they're all going to come. I think that's very hard. That can be really a lot of pressure to put on ourselves, let alone on the people. But if you know that you just deliver the message, I mean, look at what Jesus did. He delivered the message and sometimes they rejected it. He wasn't very nice about it. He said, woe to you, which was not a good woe, like a horse, you know, stopping a horse. This was bad woe, very bad woe. You know, he did not want this woe. That's how and I was thinking about it. I thought, how did Jesus respond when they rejected? He got incredibly angry.
He was so convinced that it was the truth, too. And that's probably how he handled it, was he's like, he knew it was the Father's heart that everyone would be saved. But at the same time, God doesn't force you to love him. Because then it wouldn't be love. Like,
yeah,
you have the choice to come to him.
Yeah.
And so he was so convinced that it's the truth. Like, if I say Jesus is the only way to be saved, I'm so convinced that that's the truth, that even when they reject it, my heart's hurting for them. It's not hurting for me.
That's exactly right. That's the focus needs to be.
The truth.
Yeah. The focus needs to be on that. And that's maturing. You know, sometimes we don't feel that way and we get hurt and we take it personally. And then we have to go, oh, Lord, I need to go up the next level because this is not okay. To be worried about that they laughed at me is really not important. I'm not even in a jail. You know, they didn't put me in jail and torture me. I just got laughed at. You know, it's really not that big of a deal. But, you know, sometimes what happens is it is personal, but sometimes it also is like you feel two things at the same time. You feel angry because they rejected God, not even you. And then you can feel the compassion that they're missing the only truth that'll ever save them. At that moment, though, and we don't know what they're going to do next. So, again, it's just continuing. It's that one step, and like he said to me, one step in front of the other. That's how he did it. And he's ordered the steps, so we're covered. We just have to walk, and then we have to walk in that praise, that, you know, that place of praise and place of victory, singing and dancing into the battlefield. Like this picture that I had of these soldiers, these like Roman type soldiers or whatever with the leather armor. The picture that I had is they weren't even looking at the battle. They were dancing and looking up at their shields and dancing around. You know how you dance around, say back in the old 60s, you know, how they used to dance and nobody's looking at anybody. You know, it was like that. It was their own private dance because you didn't have to worry about what was coming at you. Because you were already covered. Now, I know Paul is very serious about it and says, put on that armor and have your shield of faith, have this. But we have all that. We just have to recognize that we wear it every day.
Yeah.
Automatically. Because we're in Christ. I know it says, put on the armor. And people can... People can then misinterpret that and as a thing, as you said, Lizzie, that, you know, you have to do it every day, and if you don't put it on, you're in trouble, and, you know, and then it becomes like this burden rather than an acknowledgement of what we have, really, is what it is. And and not using it in that, you know, buy my book, Spiritual Warfare 1005, you know, lesson 8 million, because, and you better put on the armor, you better put on the armor, you know. And I remember when I was first saved and people would mention that, and it, because I had come out of the New Age, it sounded so New Age. It was so bizarre.
Wow.
So bizarre. The New Age does, you know, a lot of what the church does nowadays and call it spiritual warfare or even spiritual awareness is New Age. Mm-hmm. Because I did it before I came to Christ. So it's really strange. You know, we that has to be cleaned out of the church. And I don't know exactly how, because, I mean, you can confront people, but that's not necessarily going to do it. But we just have to ask for God to sweep that out. You know, just clean sweep, Lord. The delusion. Take them out of their delusion. Because it's very dangerous stuff. And to have Christians saying you've got to, you know, wash yourself spiritually and cleanse your hands and do all this stuff, you know, between healings and between if you're going to pray for an area and all of this, is just like, oh my gosh, that is witchcraft. And there's a lot of it in the church. So that's why we want to keep it simple. We're past the cross. We battle in victory. We dance and praise. Not even looking at the enemy like, oh yeah, you're going to get me, I'm scared. You know, he's like, woohoo, I'm having a dance here. Da, 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 da. You know, these soldiers weren't even caring. They're completely oblivious, not because they're stupid, but because they know there's nothing to worry about.
Uh-huh.
That place. And then getting to know the Holy Spirit so that he can teach you all the things that God's preparing us for.
Yeah.
You know? And, yeah, anyway. And the old kiss. I call it keep it simple, sweetie, you know, instead of the mean way they say it, you know? It's just we keep it simple because the gospel's simple. You know? And that's why you can come as a little child and you can't come any other way because it won't make any sense. So. It's so just to finish, I think we're just going to pray. And Lizzie, do you want to pray for all of us? Would that be all right for you?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Daddy, for bringing all these people together, all these women who know your heart, God. And I thank you for the calling on our lives. And I thank you for the gifts that you placed in each one of us. I thank you that you made us victors over the enemy. And that we have. We go throughout this week. And I thank you for Jesse. And I thank you for just the love that we have for each other. That's ever increasing from glory to glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. And keep us posted on. Will?
Yes, I will.
That would be great. Just you can Skype me or you know, with a message or Facebook or whatever. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Okay. Shalom, everybody. Wonderful time.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, everyone has to hang up, otherwise this isn't going to finish. If everybody can. So, Joyce, can you hang up?
How do you?
Well, you just click on the little red phone.
I got it.
Good girl.